This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Dave Hill's podcasting incident on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dave Hill's podcasting incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. I once got just outside of Moose Jaw. I think it was nougat.
What is nougat?
No one knows. This is the mystery of nougat. And let's look it up. I don't know. You know, they when I was a kid, I feel like they tried to really they were really pushing nougat. When I was
also one of those, the first time I heard it, I was like, "You mean nugget?"
No, like, no, it's nougat. Nougat.
I was like, "You're just pronouncing it funny." No, it's actually nougat.
There's nuts, there's honey, there's eggs. Just a bunch, all the usual bullshit.
Mm.
But I was led to believe as a kid growing up in on the mean streets of suburban Cleveland that it was a sort of a luxury item.
It sounds like it.
Nougat. Yeah. N-O-U-G-A-T. Yep. Anyway, I don't know why I dragged nougat into this thing. Thank you for joining me once again, wherever you are. And thank you, Chris. As the listeners can already tell, Chris Gersbeck, the brains behind the operation, is already here.
Hi.
We're gonna get some more. We have some call-in guests today, and I am back. The last two episodes, Chris, I'm not 100%. I'll be honest. I don't know what I have, but yeah. It's not good. But I've been running into several people lately who seem to have like this lingering plague with cough and stuff, which I've had. But I'm not going to. I know the last two episodes have been really bogged down with my near death experience of basic cold.
Yeah. A couple episodes ago, it did sound like you were in the early stages of death.
I was bedridden. That super short episode that we did, that I sent you. I was literally lying in bed in Scotland, praying, just trying to hold on before I went out drinking. That was probably what happened was I got to Scotland and I thought, you know, the smart thing to do would be to just stay in bed until I have to move on to the next country.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. I was there. My whole purpose of being there was to, you know,
party,
trip the light, fantastic, or however the saying goes. Yeah, basically. So I had to just power through. But I think as a result, I'm not a doctor, but I think that's how I got sick.
Added a few more days to your sickness as well.
Yeah, and cut a few days from my life, maybe in the process.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot to, you know, episode of History Fluffer that was released yesterday, we're taping this on a Thursday, this will come out tomorrow, was we discussed my involvement, basically founding, taking credit for Burning Man.
Yeah.
Thank you. And
it was a wild ride.
It was a wild ride. But later in this show, we're going to be speaking with comedian and known Canadian Andrea Allen, who will be appearing on an upcoming episode of So You're Canadian.
Yeah,
we
taped that like 6 months ago
too. No, we didn't.
It was a long time ago.
Don't reveal that.
I'll cut.
No, well, we've as you know, in the we taped it a while ago. We banked a lot of episodes, as they say, of the show, and and now we're just finally releasing them. So some have been taped very recently, some but they're timeless classics. They're evergreen, as they say in the industry. But today we'll be talking to Andrea about her experiences at the most recent Burning Man festival. And my upstairs neighbor went to a Burning Man, apparently, as well.
Oh, wow.
I have not gotten any reports from her on it. So maybe I could get her to do
it. You run into her in the hallway and she mentioned she just got back, or?
No, there was word. Word was around that that's where she was. Lots going on, you know, because I live in, it's sort of like Melrose Place, the hit TV show.
Yeah.
Not the reboot, the original.
So that's the apartment gossip, is your upstairs neighbor.
Oh my God, yeah. And I think my downstairs neighbor might be moving out. There's chatter about that.
Oh, what's the rent?
I can't say, because it will reveal too much.
Okay. Not that I'm looking to move anytime soon, but. It'd be cool if we had like a bat cave pole that you could just come down to the first floor and we can record the podcast there.
I would love it. Well, I was, you know, because there was an upstairs apartment that was open. I thought, oh, maybe I could get the upstairs and that'd be sort of my lair.
Yeah.
But then I thought, oh, I need money to do that. Mm-hmm. I would need money to rent another apartment in my building, and I have some, but not enough.
Yeah,
I mean, you've seen me, I'm wasting away. It's horrible. Everyone's terribly worried.
You do look a little gaunt. I meant to
everyone's
say that.
yeah my anyway, but yeah, we'll be talking to her in a little bit, I guess is my point.
I'm excited to talk to her because I've only gotten a few details, which we mentioned on History Fluffer, but we'll...
Oh, yeah. So it's not a spoiler alert. Basically, mm-hmm. She was involved in an orgy, or as an orgy, as I like to say.
Uh-huh.
That's the first thing, right?
Yeah.
And her friend found a dead body. So yes. Pretty much those are the real things you're after on a night out. I tend to think.
Yeah, this is massive.
An orgy or a dead body?
Well, and both, really.
Both.
I mean, I feel like either is a good party story.
Either, yeah, you can dine out on either story for quite a while. No doubt about it. But anyway, let's get into... Well, first of all, just to recap, I know we talked about this last week, but... our new podcast, which is on the Maximum Fun Network, the best network. So you're Canadian. We've released two episodes, first with Malcolm Gladwell, and then this past Tuesday, the new episode with K. Trevor Wilson from my favorite TV show, Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can say quite safely, this is a runaway hit, Chris.
It really is.
Just...
people are loving it.
It's definitely, at first I was like, oh, it's slightly more popular than this incredible podcast, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, but I can say with authority that it is way more popular because it's getting many, many downloads. We won't get into the specifics.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think like My Favorite Murder is running scared or anything. But I would say probably if podcasts get scared, they have good reason to be terrified.
Especially Canadian ones.
Oh, yeah. Because we are taking them on. We're the number one Canada podcast now.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to my mind.
I can't think of a better one, honestly.
Oh boy, it's the best one. But enough. Yeah. Anyway, new episodes coming fast and hard.
Yeah, every Tuesday.
Let's focus on this one.
Okay.
Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, which is still, we're keeping gas in the tank on Patreon, patreon.com/Dave Hill. Not a lot of gas in that tank, but enough. But we need more.
Yes.
We need.
And you get stuff too. You get t-shirts.
You get stuff, not just. Everyone thinks we're using the money to buy
lavish vacations.
Yeah, drugs, mm-hmm. things like that. And while that is happening to some extent, most of it goes into microphones and time spent and sending postcards from Europa.
Oh, yeah, I think people started getting them.
They did start getting them. And if you haven't gotten yours yet, you will be getting it seconds from now because that was really fun. I got to say, at first I was like, oh, man, what have I gotten us into now? Postcards from Europe. And then I was sitting there writing them. Mm-hmm. And if I can give a little backstory, Chris.
Yes, please.
As I think most of the people will find, most of the postcards were from Budapest, or Budapest, as mm-hmm. they say. But I wrote many of them sitting in a very glamorous apartment in Paris. And then basically what's gone, you know, because of the volume of them slash my laziness. So I finished writing them in Paris and then mailed them, most of them in Edinburgh, Scotland. So there was just a lot more excitement going on with these postcards than most people will realize because they traveled to three countries with me.
They came back to the States briefly too. Is that correct?
They did actually, yeah, because I was so busy at it. I thought like, oh, I'll just do it. And then I didn't get a chance to complete the mission while I was actually in Budapest. So are you getting raided or am I? What's that siren? Is that in Queens?
That's you. That's not me.
Oh, man. I live on the mean streets of the West Village where there's crime everywhere. Fashion crimes, usually. But, yeah, what happened was I got them in Budapest, and then I didn't have time to get it to complete the mission. And then so I came back here to the United States, and I thought, well, now I'm going to have to wait until I return to Europe to finish the job. And that's
luckily
that's
it was like a week later.
Yeah. So it all worked out. Mm-hmm. Can't be debated. But anyway, that's my story there. So, but now I'm hooked on sending postcards. There's gonna be a lot more postcard excitement out for the Patreon subscribers and stuff. But anyway, what else do we have to discuss today? Your hair. I know we've discussed this, but a lot of excitement about that.
There is
tremendous
comments. You saw it in person the other day.
Oh my god.
You didn't comment on it, but that's okay.
No, that's how I was playing it cool.
Oh, yeah.
Also, that factored with a lack of interest.
Yeah,
that
I mean...
was like the thing. No.
I discussed it, and, you know, it's fine.
I was already... this is sort of the danger of the internet, is I had already seen it online and stuff. So by the time I saw you in person... I was like,
the thrill was gone.
Yeah. I mean, that's the sort of thing with like social media and the internet anyway, but a lot of times you've never even met someone and then you just meet them somewhere and it's like you already know each other and you're like, yeah. Oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
I've had that happen a lot where I'll just be like walking along and someone will be like, hey, how's it going, Dave? And they'll be like, oh, hey, what's up? And sometimes it's someone that I know from the internet.
Yeah.
Or someone I have no idea. But either way, you just start talking and you're just like, oh. And then you realize, like, oh, I've never met this person before.
Yeah. I'm constantly living in that fear, like, this person is not going to remember who I am. So I always just introduce myself like it's the first time I've ever met.
Yeah, like as if they have a head injury or something.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually the person's like, yeah, I know. I know.
We've met. You idiot. I did this the other day. I was walking on. I was just in a daze or something. Just woken up or something, and I was going to have dinner. That didn't sound good. It makes it sound like I sleep all day. But and then I was walking along, and a friend of mine, my friend Lyle, was like, "Dave," and I was like, I just heard my name." And then I kind of looked up, and it took me a second to like snap back to reality. And he goes, he's standing there, and he's like, "It's Lyle." And I'm like, "I know. I've known this guy for several years now." Mm-hmm. But then I felt like I'm like, "Oh, I think I need to convince him that I know who he is."
Yeah.
Even though I do, of course, know he is. Anyway, yeah. I should save these stories for the moth, Chris.
Well, it's when like you start asking about their like, "How's your uncle Charlie doing?"
Yeah, yeah. Is pizza still your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
I had someone. I was speaking of Edinburgh, Scotland. I was there because for a long time, people used to mistake me and Rich Fulcher.
Yeah,
they used to think we were the same person.
You really don't look that much alike, but you have like kind of similar vibes, I think.
We seem like we could be related. Yeah, people think that we like have a similar vibe and look and things like that. But like when I go to the UK, it like sort of escalates because he, you know, was on the Mighty Boosh and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Snuffbox. And so
God, Snuffbox. I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but everyone should watch that.
Oh, so yeah. Good. It's great. Well, I went to this party in Edinburgh, Scotland, like at the beginning of the Fringe Festival, the first time I did it. And I met this guy, and it was so loud, I didn't know what he was saying. And I was just kind of nodding and laughing where I thought I should and things like that. And then I ran into him, like at the end of the festival, at another party. And he is like, "Hey, Rich, how's everything going?" And I was like, "No, I'm not Rich." And he's like, "Yeah, Rich, I was talking to you at that party a few weeks ago. We were hanging out for like 20 minutes. I'm like, "Yeah, no, I'm not Rich." He's like, and he's like asking about Rich, because Rich was there. And he's like asking about Rich's show and all this stuff. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not Rich, I'm Dave." And the guy thought I was like Rich committing really hard to some bit that was very unclear, that I was just named Dave. He was just like, why is Rich doing this? That is so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Man.
Dude. Oh my God, Chris, are you okay?
Yeah, my cat knocked over my mouse.
But not a real mouse.
Nah, just the computer mouse. God damn it. All good. Should we call our friend Andrea Allen?
Yes. Yes, we should.
Okay. So as mentioned earlier, our friend Andrea, comedian, stand-up comedian in New York City, was just at Burning Man dialing out.
Hello.
Hey, Andrea.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just sitting outside of a coffee shop in San Francisco, just kind of getting my shit together.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Andrea, it's Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Wait, what are you doing in San Francisco?
So I went to Burning Man for 8 days, and then I'm staying with my friend who lives in San Fran. I'm staying in her place. I just wanted to chill out for a few days after the burn. Uh-huh.
It sounds like it was a wild time based on little information I've gotten from Chris.
Yeah.
Without giving away too much, it sounds, by golly.
I know. I mean, it was my first Burning Man, and I went to an orgy, and my friends found a dead body. So it was like a real range of Burning Man experiences, but
yeah, that's I would be hard. I Did anyone out Burning Man you?
I don't think so. I think I experienced the full spectrum from life to death, like in the middle of the desert. I don't think anyone can say that they've done that.
I would say, I mean...
Unless you found the dead body.
No, no, I did not. Thank God.
Or but, you were the dead body.
Thank God.
No, I wasn't the one who found it. It was one of my friends. I was right there, but I didn't actually go in and see it. Thank God.
My God.
Wait, they went... Wait, so... Let's cover the dead body and then we'll get to the orgy. Because I feel because the orgy seems like the more the uplifting story of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So the dead body, is this the dead? So let's back it up though. Burning Man.
Yes.
I think most people know what it is, but if you, it's just a wild, good time in the desert, basically, right?
It's like if a hippie cult, built a city. In the desert for, 8 days. There's music and things like that. I guess you could describe it as a music festival, although it's more of just like a retreat lifestyle festival is the best way I can think of it. There's no currency. So once you get there, everybody does things for one another, and every camp that you stay in has something they do. So I was with a French Canadian camp called the Dusty Beavers. We would make maple syrup taffy on snow and give it to people. That was like our gimmick, but there was like such a range of things.
Wait, where did you get snow in the desert?
We brought ice in and then we had a snow making machine.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's wild. It's like the things people pull off are incredible. There's also like art cars everywhere. So you'll see like a giant truck, but it'll be made of sheet metal and it'll look like a dragon. And that like that's something you just regularly see. And then giant art installations sort of all throughout the desert. I kind of like the best thing I could describe it as is it's like one of those little towns you see in like Star Wars movies where there's all these different kind of creatures popping around and it's like pure fantasy.
And there's no cell phones allowed, right? Like that's all it's like you're off the grid.
Yes. No cell phones, no connection to the outside world.
What if someone needs to call you?
Tough luck. I mean, I guess there's like rangers and there's safety organizations and like, I'll get into that a little bit when we get to the corpse. So they have like things in place in case of emergency. They're quite organized. It's like 70,000 people, I believe. So it's like a city. And there's police there too, in case of anything happening. But yeah, it's basically an unplug. You can kind of like choose to do with it what you will. Like some people go there to just trip out on drugs and dance all night long for like 7 days straight. Some people go to like be creative. Like one of my favorite experiences, I was wandering around the desert at night and then I saw a guy with a violin like playing by himself in one of the camps, and I went up and was like, hey, can I listen to you play? And he was like, sure. And then he was like, get on the piano. And then we just jammed and like talked for like several hours. And that's kind of like the Burning Man way of life. You just kind of leave your camp and then you're like, I have some basic plans, but whatever happens kind of happens. So yeah, it's pretty wild.
And then is everyone naked?
Yes, a lot of people are naked. It's so hot too that like you. I mean, it's actually it gets relatively chilly at night, but during the day, you'll see like at least 20% naked people, or people in like bondage gear or furry costumes or like any possible costume identity you could imagine. You can absolutely see represented. So that's really cool.
That's probably I'd probably go the furry route.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I met a furry in line for pizza, and he told me about his relationship with another furry and all this, like, long story. I don't know. You can, any type of lifestyle you'd like to, like, know something about, you can find them at Burning Man and talk to them. So that's pretty cool.
I imagine the furry costumes take up a lot of suitcase space.
They do. I had to packing. Yeah. Oh my God, packing was such a struggle of like, what, do I bring this practical fleece or do I bring a fur butt plug and like a crown? Like you have to make these real time decisions.
A fur butt plug?
Yeah. I have a fox fur tail that attaches to a butt plug. So you shove it up there and then
you just sort of scamper about.
Yeah, like I'm walking around with the tail.
I did. I have follow-up questions.
Yes.
Is it hard to keep the butt plug in when you're walking around, or is it just that once it's in there?
Once it's in there, it's in there. It's got like a kind of an egg shape with a point on the end. So once you get it like far enough up there, it's too wide to come out. It's not like a thin insertion. It's like kind of bulbous.
So someone's gotta really try to yank it out, right?
Yes, and someone did yank it out at one point.
What? Someone without asking just came and ripped your butt?
No. I was doing kind of a comedy thing for my camp, and we were doing like spanking. We had spanking paddles, and I was like letting people spank me and stuff. And someone was like, "I bet you can't. I can't get the tail out, or I can't get the tail out." And I was like, "All right, do your best." And I thought maybe I could like ass kegel it and hold it in, but
been there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes you think you can hold it in, and you can't. So.
You don't have to answer this at all. But if someone were to do that, yank it out, wouldn't that then potentially lead like you lose control and maybe shit everywhere?
You could. I was pretty clear of shit at that point. Okay. But I think if you were in a riskier eating situation, then maybe, yes.
That would be my biggest
possible,
fear.
Anything's possible, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that would have been... Yeah, that
but
would
even
be
if
my...
that even if that happened, everyone would have been like, oh, that's okay. Like, that's kind of the attitude of everyone there. They're just like, whatever.
Yeah, not a big deal. So what?
Yeah.
Someone ripped a fox tail out of your butt and you shit everywhere.
That's what happens. Fuck your burn, man.
Yeah. All right. I'm in. Well,
yeah.
Let's jump around a little bit. Your friend found what, a dead body?
Yes. So my friend who had been once before and another girl in the group knew this guy who they had. This guy had grown up in New Zealand with my friend. She's from New Zealand. And they were at Burning Man the year before together. So they wanted to say hi to him at some point. They ran into him out on the dance floor one night and he said, come by my tent tomorrow. We'll hang out. So we were all going to go to a dance party. But we thought we'd pick him up on the way. So my two friends, we were all in a big group, and my two friends said, we're going to go to his trailer and get him, and then we'll meet you in a second. Like, you guys just wait here. So they go to meet him, and we're kind of chilling, and, like, it starts to be quite a while before they're coming back. I'm telling the experience of finding him from her perspective. I didn't find him or see him, but apparently my two friends went in the trailer to get him and it looked like he was sleeping. And it's the middle, like sleeping in the middle of the day at Burning Man is not unusual. People are on all types of sleep cycles, but they were like, oh no. And then they kind of like shook his body a little bit and said his name and he didn't respond. And then one of them was like, oh, maybe we should just like come back later. He's sleeping. And the other one was like, no, fuck that. Like, he's coming out. So then they started to really kind of like shake him. And again, this is not my experience, but apparently they looked at his hands and they were quite like stiff. And then they looked down at his feet and they're quite stiff. And then they were like, oh my God, they're like something's wrong. My one friend who had known him, went to check his pulse and didn't feel a pulse at all. And then I think they sort of started to realize, like, they were looking at his face and stuff, and it was pretty clear he was, like, if not dead, then, like, you know, comatose. Like, something was obviously very wrong. So my one friend who knew him started to try to do CPR, and then it was just, like, very overwhelming. So they ran out of the trailer and started screaming, like, our friend needs help, our friend needs help. And eventually, like within a minute or two, there were rangers there. It became a crime scene very quickly because everyone was kind of thinking that it was drug related. I mean, usually when someone dies in a festival like that, it's drugs are a pretty good chance. Mm-hmm. And also with like fentanyl and all that
yeah.
stuff, that's kind of what we assumed. We later found out, so she went back to the camp a day or so later to try to talk to some of the people that knew him. And she wanted to call the parents again to give them like a little bit more. They weren't able to talk for that long the first time she talked. So she went back to the camp and she was talking to a friend of theirs that had been out with this guy the night before. And she was kind of like, what was he like? Was anything going on? Did you see him take anything strange? Like kind of just trying to get some answers. And he was like, no, he wasn't doing anything. He was just like dancing and having fun. Like we had a great night and we stayed all night. And then he went back to his trailer. And so it was like, okay, that's odd that, you know, he wasn't like fucked up or anything like that. It's like, how does someone die in the desert? Do they have cardiac arrest, you know, dehydrate, like there's ways to die, but they're quite, the thing is that the festival is so friendly that people like check up on you. So for him to die of anything like weather or like heat related would probably take a minute. So what they found out and what I'm learning now, and I'm not sure if this is official, but I've just been reading it here and there, is that he died of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah,
that's what I was reading, yeah.
Yeah, so what they think happened is that he, like, came home from a night out and went to take a nap, and there was a generator. So there's generators everywhere because there's no electricity. So there's a generator near his RV that was, like, they pump out quite a lot of CO2, I guess.
Oh,
which makes sense. And he turned on the air conditioner in his AC and it was sucking the CO2 air from the generator into the RV.
So someone else's generator
was on. Like it was near him, I guess. I don't know if like, I have no idea how they set the camp up or anything like that. Like our generators at our camp were like by the kitchen. So I don't know if it's typical to have generators so close to, like, if he was in a tent, he would be alive because there's enough, like, you know, like air around.
Yeah,
exactly. But the fact that he was in like a contained vehicle and that generator just happened to be like right in the spot by the AC, it was basically just like sucking it right in there.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's horrible. Like, you know, and this sounds like I'm not trying to be mean, but if someone dies from an overdose, at least you're like, okay, I can wrap my mind around that. That's something that I like understand happens, and it's very, very sad, but like, it's something that I can mentally understand because I've heard of it before, but this was just so bizarre. Like, it's so needless and careless I totally would have done something like that. You know, like I was thinking about it and I'm like, I wouldn't know about a generator facing, you know, no idea.
Totally.
It's not common knowledge, especially if you're tired and you just kind of zonk out. Like, so easy for that to happen.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. So, you know, my friends just like, they were very, I think they were in shock, definitely.
How far into the trip was this?
Like 4 or 5 days. So sort of like middle to closer to the end. Mm-hmm. So they were in shock, definitely. They're very, very, like responsible and thoughtful with how they handled it, which was really like impressive. And it was hard for me to see, like, you know, I didn't see the corpse. So I'm not personally affected in the way that they are, but it was like sad to see my friends have to go through something like that. I was just like, oh my God, what a like fucking tragedy. But they were just kind of a bit in shock. And then as the days passed, they definitely were talking about it and stuff, but also trying to kind of be like, I'm here with my friends and really sad that this happened, but I want to try to like make the best of it. And like everyone kind of took care of them. And I was like, go see counseling, which they both were like, yeah, of course, like definitely get some help dealing with this. Cause it's such an impactful thing to happen. And I think they will, like it was, I think like they also didn't want to get too quote unquote emotional about it. Cause I think if they really started to like truly unpack the magnitude of something like that, then they would really freak out. And they, you know, it's not a place to like come apart. I mean, you can, of course. But I would feel very uncomfortable being like super distraught because you're in the middle of the desert, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't go home. You can't like, you know, see your boyfriend. You can't like go get a coffee. You know, you're like, there's a furry over there and like you're in the middle of the desert, you know? So
you can't be sad around a furry.
No, you can't. They're the happiest people alive.
That's going to make you bounce back.
Yes. I mean, they did in lots of ways. They also like, you know, there's two burns. So there's one is the burning of the man, which is like the big, the one that you guys see. And then there's also a temple burn. So in the last day they built this beautiful wooden temple. And people go in and put like pictures of loved ones or notes or like things to memorialize. It's quite beautiful. You go in and walk around and it's just like the walls are covered in, really nice things and pictures of people who passed away. So, they burn the temple at the very end and it's quite different. Like the man burn is very, like loud and fun and celebratory. And the temple burn is like quiet, everyone's quiet. And it's like just somber and kind of like everyone's reflecting or brooding or whatever people do, you know? So
removing their butt plugs and packing up to head home.
Exactly. Yeah. So
if I can speak for anyone, I don't know, but, now, well, we not to change gears abruptly from death and not to diminish the heaviness of that, but just in the interest of time, I feel like we would be remiss not to ask about the orgy if you're comfortable discussing that. When was, just so I know, when was the orgy?
So there's many orgies or sex-related things happening sort of like all of the time. Yeah. You get this like events book. It's very actually well, everything is very well orchestrated. Their shit together. Yeah.
Wait, so the orgies are like in a schedule?
Yes. So you get like a...
Oh, I don't like this at all. Okay, I thought we were talking about a spontaneous orgy, but this is a planned... Someone's gone to the printer.
Yeah, someone has gone to the printer and printed out strap-on-a-thon and given a time and a location. So there's a lot of open sort of sex things happening at all times. And then there's also like there's orgy domes, they're called.
A dome and in which there is an orgy?
Yes, exactly. You nailed it.
I hope that can't smell good in there.
You know what? It's not as bad. It's not great. I'm not going to lie to you and say it smells great, but it's better than you think it would be.
But there's a distinct scent of sex.
I mean, yes. Imagine the smell of a bedroom when someone has sex and then multiply it by hundreds of people in the desert. And that's kind of what you get.
Uh-huh. Can we talk about the dead body again? No, just kidding.
I know, right? What's more shocking?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know.
This
my
dome.
Threshold for shock is so high now at this point. But so the orgy domes are air-conditioned, so that is important.
That helps.
And they're, like, very clean. I mean, I've been to orgies in New York City. Orgies all kind of, like, look the same way. You know, there's, like, a lot of pillows. A lot of wet wipes, a bucket of strap-ons, you know, hand sanitizer, and like a lot of hanging tapestries.
Chex mix.
Yes. There should be food, actually. It would never fly. But actually, I did go to an orgy in New York where late at night they served ice cream sandwiches. So sometimes you get a little snack, but...
How many people are involved in like an orgy? Is there a standard number? Is it like,
I think after four people, I think after four people it becomes like a gangbang. And then at like 20 plus, I think you've moved into orgy territory. I'm not a professor of orgies, so don't quote me, but that's just based off of my field work.
Well, that would be so a gang. Okay.
Why do they have to call it a gangbang? It sounds so just violent and weird.
I know, it does. It does. But it does rhyme, so there's that.
There could be a group stoop.
A group stoop.
Yeah, that doesn't really rhyme. Plus, it sounds like an old...
Yeah, some sort of like church gathering.
Yeah.
With bingo.
Let's not do that after all.
So, okay, so there's an orgy dome that's like co-ed, so to speak. And then I was interested in the strap-on-a-thon because it was all ladies in a camp called Beaver Town, which I enjoyed very much. Again, a little nail on the head, but it did its job.
No, I mean, that's a good name.
It's way better than Wienerville or something.
Sausage party. I mean, there's also gay men's orgies. There's any type of orgy you want to find, you can find it.
I'd probably have to ease into it and just have to go to like the hand jobathon or something. Something.
The make out.
The make out. Yeah. Second base city.
City city. There is stuff like that. Like there's lots of like touching workshops. There's actually this one that I didn't get to go to, but I loved, that's women get to yell at men. So they volunteer, like a bunch of men volunteer, and you go in and they're
I'd volunteer for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hope so. Any man I hang out with should volunteer for that. You guys are bullshit.
Sounds fun. I'm in.
It was good. So there is a range of like non-sexual human experiences, but
no thanks. I want the sexual. I need friction. I'm going all the way out to the desert.
They call it actually, your vagina gets quite dry naturally after a while.
Sure.
So they call it playa pussy is the word for it.
What is
it? The desert is, we call it the playa is the name for it. And the idea is that like the sand has gotten up there so good that you kind of like can't really keep it wet by the end.
Sure.
So there's
totally understandable.
There's some elements going on.
Is there music playing? Is there music playing during the orgy? Is it just like that?
No. At least not this one. I mean, like a lot of screaming.
I gotta have my orgy jams. Gotta have my jams.
Yeah,
I would want.
You need your mixtape.
I would want to do the mixtape, and then wait. So how long? So at Strap-on-a-thon, how long does that go on for?
So I got there. It's officially started at 9 p.m. I got there and it was already full. I think they allow I think they could probably fit 100 people in the dome or maybe less. And so they're like, take a number and wait. So I sat outside by myself and talked to some ladies. It was weird because I don't I am a pretty sexually experienced person, I would say, but I've never just straight hit on a lady before going into an orgy dome. It's just a very specific type of flirtation. Cause you're kind of alluding to the fact that you're about to go in there. You don't want to be a creep, but you want to be direct. It's just a very we're about to go in the orgy dome. What do you think about that? You know?
Yeah.
They're slightly playful conversations. So I talked to a bunch of girls and then eventually I went in there, and I was alone. So I felt that was also weird. A lot of people go in with partners or groups of queer people who all are very comfortable with one another, but being the solo person is a bit weird because you kind of just have to wait if someone picks you, so to speak.
I'd be such a wallflower in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would totally. Yeah, I would struggle because I'm really shy. I can't even go into a bar and strike up a conversation with a stranger. So,
yeah,
I can't even imagine trying to
initiate a strap-on-a-thon.
Yeah, exactly.
I Burning Man's all about getting out of your comfort zone. So I was this is very intimidating, but for that reason I should do it, you know?
Sure.
I mean, that's also kind of how I generally tend to live my life, for better or for worse.
I'm picking
and,
up on that.
So I was kind of sitting very demurely on a pillow in my full dress. I don't know why I didn't take my dress off right away. Cause I was I don't know, maybe no one will want to hook up. And then I'm just sitting there naked and it's awkward. So let's not get ahead of it. And then two girls came up to me and they were paired up, I guess. And they were just oh, you're sitting by yourself. What's going on? It's so funny because women are so friendly and caregiving. So they're trying to have sex with you, but they're also genuinely being how are you doing? You know what I mean? It's such a strange combination. Sex is usually very one particular way when you're doing a fist hookup, it's going that way.
Did you say fist hookup?
No, cis, cisgendered.
Oh,
it was a new
cis
term.
I'm sorry. Dang. I know. I just couldn't hear.
I know.
I'm relieved. I'm relieved that you not what you said.
Not a fist hookup. No, not at all. Although that would fly at Burning Man, but
sure.
So this one was about my age, maybe a little bit older than I was, and the other one was younger, 24-ish. And so they just started talking to me and were is this your first rodeo, you know, all that stuff. And then the one who was slightly older kind of like took control of the situation. She was like, do you guys want to cuddle? And I was like, okay. And then she was like, you can keep your dress on, but you can take it off if you want. I'm like, okay. And then I don't know. It just kind of like evolved from there. Once the dress was off, I was like, fuck it. Let's orgy out, man. Like went in the dome.
Are there like air mattresses that are out of that?
Yes. Air mattresses everywhere. It's circular, obviously. So they're like around the edge. Uh-huh. And then there's just like pillows everywhere. So we were like, I was hooking up with both of them kind of like on the floor for a minute. And then eventually we saw that a mattress had become available. So, and I kept trying to like,
get
to a mattress, and then like a woman with a whip kept like hitting me by accident in the face, and I was like, no, it's fine, it's fine. It's just wild. Like, you take a minute, like, it's, again, it's like, oh, not only am I in the desert, in like a borderline cult hippie festival, I'm also now like having sex with two women at the same time, and I'm in an orgy dome. Like, every piece of information is just more and more insane. And then
yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, literally.
Yeah.
You gotta have a sense of humor about it, because it's like a whip hitting you in the face accidentally. You can't freak out. It's like,
no, it's so funny. I was like, oh, it's fine. And I guess, you know, I've had sex with women before, but usually it's like was drunken sort of one night encounters. I'd never had like a sober, like intentional, this is what I'm here to do. And it, like all my earlier hookups when I was like a younger person were kind of like shame filled, cause you know, homophobia and all that stuff. So this was very like, everyone was so friendly and out and like happy and nice. And also it was so much more real than the other ones. So I was like feeling kind of victorious, like I did it. Also just like very grateful that everyone was so nice. And twist.
There's a twist after all this.
I mean, it's not that big of a twist, but it is interesting. So the older woman, I was talking to them, like, you kind of like fuck around for extended periods of time. And then you like stop and lay down and like survey the orgy and chat.
Get some checks mixed.
Exactly. Wipe things down, remove strap-ons, put on different strap-ons. So in one of our little like interludes, I was like, oh, when did you guys start like hooking up with girls? Like, what's your whole gay story? And one of them, the older one, was like, oh, well, I'm actually trans. And so, you know, my whole life. And I had no idea that she was trans, not that I cared at all. Like I was like blown away. I'd never seen like a reconstructed, you know, trans vagina before. And I was just like, I had no idea. So, and I was like, and the fact that I made her come, I was like, oh my God, that's like, so it was just like a whole other layer of fascination.
That's an achievement you just unlocked.
I know. I was like, I just accidentally unlocked 10 achievements without even knowing it. And she
was
just
pretty advanced.
Yeah. I'm like a black belt. I was also like fingering them both at the same time. And I like just remember like throwing my hair back and being like, this is primal. I feel like some sort of like sex guy right now. Like, it's so wow. So it was very cool. It was very empowering. And that was like a little twist at the end of the story. And she was really gracious. She like let me kind of ask questions and was really sweet. She was, I kind of more enjoyed talking and like hooking up with her. The younger, not no shade to the younger girl, she was very, very cute, but she was like, she's 24, so she was like kind of a baby, and I was like, and not an actual baby, but you know, emotionally not as mature a person. So
wait, so the trans woman was the older woman?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She was just kind of more like she was guiding it and kind of more, she was more experienced in every sense of the word. So it was like nice that someone who is experienced in like queerness and also has done, she's done these kind of things before. It was like, she was my spirit guide, but also I made her come a lot. So it was like an equal sort of gifting process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was like, I don't know. It was fun. It was really, really, really wild. It was kind of like, and this is a negative connotation, but I don't mean it this way, but you know, is it Bosch or Borscht, the German painter that does the Hieronymus Bosch.
Yeah. Hieronymus Bosch.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
I think I'm saying that right. I don't know.
Yes. I think you're saying it right too. The whole of Burning Man and also that orgy is kind of like being in one of those paintings. It's not like literally monsters and stuff like in purgatory, but it's so sensory. It's such a sensory overload that you're like, am I crazy? Or is this crazy? Or is the real world crazy? Like, mm-hmm. It really kind of pushes you to examine a bunch of stuff, which is... it's very, very cool. I would suggest it. I mean, despite the fact that there was a dead body involved in my burn, it was still like a very, you know, exciting and wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. I just, yeah, it's just sad that, you know, for the family of that guy, I just.
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
It's so just like, ugh, so, you know, but I guess he was also like in a very happy place. So, you know, they can sort of hold on to the idea if they choose to that. He had died like quietly and didn't, you know, he didn't know and he was just having fun. You know, it's the wake of it is horrible, but the death itself, I'm sure, was quite quick and painless. So, yeah.
Wow.
Full circle, well, man.
That in summation, it sounds like you had a lovely time at Burning Man.
I really did.
Thank you so much. We're running over a little bit, so we should drive it home. But thank you so much for sharing all of that.
Of course. Anytime. I love talking to you guys.
And safe travels wherever you're headed, or back east or whatever.
Back to New York, baby.
Excellent.
I'll see you soon.
Keep Chris and I up to date on any other excitement that comes.
Death or dome related things.
Don't relate.
You guys abreast.
Hand jobathons, second basethons.
I'll put you guys on the roster for all the athons.
The hand jobathon.
Okay.
All right.
I will.
Andrea. Thanks, Andrea.
Have a good one, guys. Right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye bye. That story had everything, Chris.
That was amazing.
That was everything about life was in that story. This has been quite an episode. Let's drive it home. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Support us on patreon.com/DaveHill. And while you're at it, don't forget, pre-order my book, Parking the Moose, out October 8th. And if you're in New York City, this is a big party. It's a blowout book event, October 3rd at McNally Jackson, 7 p.m. Me and Mike Sachs from Vanity Fair, and then booze and food and strap-on-a-thons. No, everything but that last part.
Bucket and, of strap-on.
I'll be signing books.
Can I plug something real quick?
Please, Chris.
As you know, our friend Frank Conniff was not doing too well. He had some surgery, but he's going to be back in action at QED on Friday, September 20th for Movies Are Dumb. We're going to be showing The Punisher, the 1989 Dolph Lundgren movie, and Frank will be there.
Oh, excellent. Glad he's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing a lot better. Excellent. So come out to that.
Well, thank you so much for everything, Chris. And
thank you.
For securing Andrea in that incredible story, getting her on today.
Yeah.
And all right, watch your backs, watch your rooftops, and get tested, everyone. Stay hydrated, stay street, all those things. Bye. All right, bye-bye.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.